following program
is the officially sanctioned podcast
where three friends
talk about the show
about four friends
who compete to embarrass each other.
Joker podcast.
Oh yeah, baby.
I tried to do my joke, like the Joker's laugh, you know, like
ha!
But like there's the different laughs, like at the end of it it's always like it's like a ghetto like laugh. I tried to do that to open our podcast. I think it worked well.
You did a great job there, Casey Jost.
Oh yeah, James McCarthy.
That's right. How about you, Shay DeBerry?
I think he was right on point.
So welcome to the official and practical Jokers podcast. We just said our weird names, and we got a lot of weird names in this episode.
Oh, it's a fan favorite. Anytime Cranges McBasketball comes out, the name game, as a lot of people call it as well, it is something we've now done 100 times in 9 seasons. If people can't get enough of it, one of my favorite bits to do, it is silliest thing to sit around in a room with the guys, or now a Zoom, I guess, you know, and just come up with silly names with them. It is the best.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty fun. So I also want to give a shout out to my dad, who the last time we did this, and it appeared on After Party. And if you haven't seen it, I think I have a link on my Instagram. If you go down a little while for the whole thing, my dad read names that I gave him to the four guys, and they had to not break. And so all four on the floor. It's a good one. So this like conjured up the feeling I had when last time we did this.
Case, it's funny that you say that, because I'm going to put something in the chat right now. This was one of the cut ones from Murray's turn. He didn't say it, but it almost made it into his cards on the floor.
What? Dan Jost's wife?
That was a name that didn't quite make it.
That's really funny. I'm surprised that, yeah, I bet you Q came up with that one, because Q, you know, Q knew my mom through the fire department. My mom worked for the FDNY. She was the chief medical officer, one of the first female chiefs in New York City history.
That's amazing.
Not just for the fire department. I think she might have been the first female chief in New York City, like including like the fire department and the NYPD, all that. So I'm very proud of her. And but Q knew her and knew the legend of her very well. This is before we even met.
Yeah.
I think my mom was helped a lot keeping Q in the fire department in season 2. You know, because he got deferred a year, and my mom helped get deferred another year for him, which is very rare. And then he had to leave to do Impractical Jokers full time. But there was no hard feelings. My mom was very proud of him.
Oh, that's great.
And he's kept me employed, so my mom loves Q.
Big up to your mom. And it's Woman History. It's Woman Month or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
It's so March. Yeah, it's Women's
History. Big up to your mom. Here we go.
Yeah, you're right. I should do a little nice thing for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a little behind the scenes of my life. That's why you're here, everyone, I'm sure. Now about Luke Johnson.
Oh, yes, Luke Johnson. Murr's wedding crasher.
So, all right. So Murr got married, and our friend Jake Van Wagner, who I think we talked about last week because we were talking about Salt Lake City, he was supposed to bring his wife, and then last minute his wife couldn't come.
She had to watch the 15 kids.
He thought the kind thing to do was to bring a guest, and so he brought his friend Luke Johnson. Luke Johnson came, and then when they got there, Murr was he said like, my friend Luke is coming, and Murr thought he was kidding. So when he got there and the guy was there, Murr was like, what? Who the hell is this? You know, he never met him in his life, and he's like, this is like, also Murr, like he probably had to make hard decisions, like hard cuts. Yeah. People in his life.
It was like a pandemic wedding. Yes. So the guest list was cut down a lot anyway. So like it was one of those things. I'm sure it's like any person that couldn't make it is like a blessing in disguise, kind of, because it's like, great, less people there.
And now all I'm going to say, because I think the Jokers will tell this so much funnier, probably in a live show soon. I'm just going to say that Luke Johnson was the life of the party. That's, I'm going to leave it at that. And they'll fill in the other details. But that is the broad strokes of this narrative of Luke Johnson and why he made, because this is probably filmed not far after the wedding, so it was probably fresh in Murray's mind.
Yep. So funny.
Yeah, this was fun. I don't like to consider myself really like the connoisseur of these names, even though I always get credited as being like the founder of Cranges McBasketball.
Sure.
Which, because I just had that name. I also did Jugs McBulge, which I'm also proud of that. Now that Gatto holds that up in the airport.
Right.
I do have an affinity for names, but it's not like I don't think I got that many. Oh shit.
Who's cooking?
It's the humble alert. The humble alert is going off. I'm being too humble.
It's Casey's smoke detector. We're gonna need his mother to come in and fix that for him.
That's
the first female chief in New York City history. So now she'll fix the fire alarm in case he's home.
Sorry, I cut up for a sec. That noise was my smoke detector that was going off, which goes off for anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're melting butter, it'll go off. So you're welcome to my life. This is more behind the scenes of Casey Jost on the Official and Practical Jokers podcast.
We're just saying, we like the idea, like the alarm goes off, like when your mom calls or when she arrives, because she's like a fire chief, basically.
Yeah. It's so funny. The smoke alarm goes off. My mom shows up. She breaks through the glass, like the glass ceiling she broke through. Thank you, folks.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if we're talking about our name resumes, I do have to say, Jacrispy Volcano.
That's true.
Over there is a thing I pitched earlier. What do you name Jacrispy? I threw out there as a terrible name for a guy like Sal.
Wait, you came up with Jacrispy?
And it backfired.
Yeah. I can't even remember the context.
So it was it was for when they held up the cue card. They held up the cue cards in a bit. And then the note it was something like someone calls me Jacrispy or something like that. And then Sal heard that name and was like, I love the name Jacrispy.
Yeah.
And Gatto was like, okay, I'm going to start calling you Jacrispy. He changed in his phone. It's still Jacrispy in his phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was like no bull. I thought it was like a childhood name that they gave him in like high school or something.
On set, James McCarthy just like threw it at Joe. He wrote it down and then that, you know, off to the races.
I never knew that.
That's how it happens sometimes.
That's crazy.
So just letting the fans know, when it comes to these made up names, we're professionals. We do it all the time.
I mean, honestly, like what I love about the people who work on the show, like Jonna and James, I'm sorry, that's you, and Imbergio and Sharon, like all the people who've always worked, is this is one thing that really lets people shine and lets like the weird stuff come out. Like anytime that something gets added, that's like the extra part at the end, I'm trying to remember like, attorney at law.
Slick Deuceman, attorney at law. Yeah.
Anytime there's like an extra thing, I think I had doctors from Puerto Rico and I was like, wow, I added doctor. And then now people are adding like, you know what I mean? Like DDS or whatever.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm just like, I don't even think I got many on, you know, because everybody submits some and the guys write them obviously too.
Right.
And I don't know how many of these I could claim. That's the other thing is I also forget until someone's like, you did this one.
Exactly. It's also like we've worked together so long where I think my wife was watching the bit when I was getting ready for this. And she was like, these all sound like you or Casey. And then she's like, or Jonna or Joe, or like, it was like kind of like, oh yeah, you guys all sound the same after a while.
I honestly think that when I watched this episode, the only one that I think that I could claim that I feel like I may have done was, and I know I did this one. That's the only one I know. It was Noyce Ponce.
Very
Noyce Ponce was the only one I could claim.
Very nice.
There's just so many good people who work on the show that submit, you know, like Sal's family members will text him names to for him to give other people. Like people in their lives will just be like, hey, when's the next Cran? Can I get in on it?
Yeah, and like I'll get texts throughout the year from the guys.
Right.
Murray could be on his honeymoon, and then I'll just get a text with a weird name. I'm like, okay, he wants to put that in somebody's packet for Cranges.
Yeah, you'll just get like a Buffalo Children's, and you'll be like, what the hell does this mean? And you're like, oh, Cranges. Okay,
right. Of course, Cranges. Oh, Varmint O'Einstein, that is a Cranges name.
I tried to write down my favorites, and then my like little notepad just like got too full, and I was like, I have to stop. Like, what do I do here? Do I just write down the ones that they broke on? Like they left. But I just, I gotta say that in the years we've been doing this, there's never been a moment like Eric Montoya, AKA Egg. What was it?
Egg Montoya.
Yeah. The one and only Egg Montoya. Oh my God.
One and only Egg. That was unbelievable that his name was Eric, which is an E name and like Egg. And he had the story, which was Egg Montoya. Montoya, his middle name though. Like the whole thing was like, it was incredible. It was like a completely different show that we just like dropped into. I think they should have gave Q the win though.
It's unbelievable. Like it kind of plays in the episode too, but I just remember I wasn't watching the bit. I was like working on something else. And I got a text from, I think Megan Rico, who was on set that day. And she was like, James, there's an Egg Montoya on set. Like shut it down. Q just read out a Cranges name for a real person.
Yeah.
It like blew the guy's mind. It was incredible. I mean, yeah, that guy's Egg Montoya, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, and the one and only.
The one and only.
I want to give Q a shout out for two things.
Yeah.
One, last week's episode, there was a moment where he said, like, well, you obviously want to work here because it's the greatest place you've ever been to, because his turn in the security, like when he was given the job interview thing, was so fun. He was like, you're definitely going to say yes, like, which is just so ballsy. And I love that. He like got a little meta. Right. And on this one, he goes, I should probably get everyone's name and check the list based on that. But that's not how we do things here. I'm going to read out these names. Like, that's another thing that like has never happened before. The guys were like, yeah, you know, like, this probably seems like the wrong way to do things, but let's keep going.
Yeah, just call it out.
It's so funny.
I mean, that's like, you know, one of the first rules of improv there, where it's just like, when something's obvious, just say it, call out the truth, the reality, and then justify why you're going to keep doing it the weird and bizarre way that you've been behaving. So yeah, he kept it going. It was really, really fun. Forgettable Lisa made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite ones that he read out. I mean, this game, again, it's just Pope Lips was another one.
Pope Lips
this
is great.
This game always gets me, and I think it gets a lot of fans, and it is a thing that we will see. Like, we were out in Vegas with the guys, and there were fans out there that were wearing shirts with all Cranges names on the back. Like they made like homemade like football jerseys or something.
Right.
They're having like, you know, John Bergio like sign ones that he came up with. Like, he was like signing like their homemade football jerseys. It's crazy. Like, it's just such a fun, silly, dumb game.
It is fun. And I'll tell you another thing that I like is moments where like they started talking about how Joe's hair like was trying to go back to the spikes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was like trying to fight through the LA looks.
Yeah.
I love this show sometimes because the guys just get to make fun of each other, just riff. And it has nothing to do with calling out funny names. Like, we're here for funny names, but then like, they're just going to make fun of Joe, and that's going to make the cut. Like, what other show has that? Like, most other shows would be like, the network would be like, no, just stick to the funny names. And we're throwing in like jokes about Joe's hair, you know, like all these other little like side things that are happening. And I just think that's like it's a nice thing to have. I will say this, Joe laughed more than usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He must've been in a mood that day.
Yeah.
He's hard to break.
He's tough. I mean, honestly, again, all these bits that we filmed for this was, you know, post pandemic when we filmed this Cranges, I feel like the guys were still off that break. They didn't get to play Jokers for 6 months, and they're coming back in and they're just like getting reacquainted to it a little bit. It's almost like, it's like Joker spring training, basically.
It's true.
You know, they still got the donuts on their bats, not real donuts, of course, Joe would eat them, but like, they're getting used to the show again. Cause Murr actually lost. Sal didn't even lose Cranges, which might be the first time ever, like, you know, Sal always loses Don't Break Things.
It's true.
So yeah, I think it is kind of funny this year. I don't know, like the punishment count might be different than usual just because guys are actually losing bits that they didn't lose before.
It's the same with the NBA. It's like, you never know who's going to win. Oh, it's LeBron's team. Okay. It's still LeBron's team. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. But before we move on to the next bit, we actually have a few of the names that didn't make it into the cut.
Awesome. Oh, but and right before we do this, I just want to give a shout out to a podcast that I've been on, and it's like a really great podcast, and it's called Talk Culture, TalkUltre. It's like Talk Culture. I've been on the podcast 3 times, and they end almost every episode with, when I'm on it, with Cranges names that they and their friends write, and they are top of the line Cranges names. And this is coming from the guy that came up with Dr. Shrimp, Cranges, Jugs McBulge, and to be honest, and Tone Racone later in this bit.
Yes, you did. Big ups to Tone Racone.
Big ups to, and I want to give big ups to this podcast, Talk Culture. The hosts are incredible. They've reached out to me one day. I didn't know them, but now they're like my lifelong friends. They're great. Kid Cadet is the main host, and she's incredible. So please check out that podcast. You could listen to the ones I'm on, or the ones that like a lot of really great guests go on. So that's my one podcast plug right now.
Oh, nice. I'll have to check that out. I want you guys to, Casey and Shay, why don't you just read through some of these names? Why don't you alternate here?
Okay. I'll go first.
You go first.
Okay. Captain Khalil Deal Crickets. I would break. I would laugh during that one. Okay. You're up.
Bill Day. I would definitely break.
Oh, Shay, I think you need to do this bit. This is good. I'll do this one. Pat Buffering Patrick. Okay. A weird one.
See, I say things differently. Like my tone, rather, is different from the guys. So this one would be Judge Papa Fudge.
Wow, Judge Papa Fudge. It was written Judge Grandpa Fudge, but
I like the Papa. We need the Papa Fudge.
I like that you put your spin on it.
And
James, you put another one, and I'll leave this to you. I'll leave the one that you first put.
I mean, I'm just taking off the top of the pile that didn't make the cut. And so, again, I don't think anyone in this room goes by that name. I don't think any of the listeners go by this name. Mm-hmm. But please, if there's a Romeo Horsecock, let us know.
That is
Romeo.
Do you know what that's referenced
Romeo,
to?
Romeo, Romeo, Horsecock, where art thou, Romeo? Anybody?
That's probably a Sal who wrote that and submitted it, because you know why?
What?
Romeo Horsecock is a name that Steve Byrne gives out too. So he infamously like closed his like comedy sets with like making a boy band out of like men from his audience. And he would always pull up guys that like looked like they were on their first date with like a girl, or like guys that were like, you know, 60 with their like, you know, 60-year-old wife. And he'd pull them up and he'd give everyone names, and he'd find the funniest one and give them the name Romeo Horsecock. And it would just the fate, like everyone would just lose their mind, like in the audience when that name would come out. And so I think it was like an homage to Steve Byrne, who's like a great guy.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Real funny guy.
Okay. And then there's another one there that you dropped in. I will take the honor of saying.
You got that.
Birth Taken Zebras.
Oh. I'm glad you said it, because I was those trying to figure out.
Those are some birth taken zebras. That's fun.
I like that.
All right, Shay.
Nephew Heartbreaker. Wow. I need to,
you make it sound so much cooler, Shay.
Yes, that's why I say it a little differently.
You just have like a cadence to the way that you say things.
You know, I think this one right here.
Oh, yeah. There we
is
go.
One.
Yes.
That's, do you want to take this, James?
This is one I will say that I think someone came up with, and it's a very good sequel mm-hmm. to a name in the past. I mean, I guess they're not technically family. I'm guessing they're cousins. But does anybody know a Dr. Salmon's Costa Rico? Dr. Salmon's Costa Rico?
Costa Rico is the funny part, that it ends with Rico, not Rica.
Yeah.
Wait, I guess it would be, right? Because it's Costa Rica.
It's Costa Rica,
so
yeah.
It is. So, no, the last name is Rico, so it would be related to Puerto Rico. So it's Dr. Shrimp Puerto Rico. Shrimp would be the first name.
Yeah.
Porto would be the middle name. No, and Rico would be the last name, which also makes it that. So that means that Dr. Shrimp Puerto Rico, Dr. Salmon's Costa Rico, and Megan Rico, one of our crew members, are all related. How funny is that?
Yeah, right, that's great.
And in case,
I love it.
This might be the last one, but I think just because you like, again, you like when it's mm-hmm. like people add the attorney at law.
Yes.
When they add like, you know, Duchess of Sussex or whatever.
I love
that. So here's
that.
Another one for you.
This is Cougar in parentheses, Samantha DeVito. And I will say that in parentheses is written out. Cougar in parentheses, Samantha DeVito.
So, yeah. Again, it's you're in the waiting room. You're looking around. Is there a cougar in parentheses? Samantha DeVito? Am I supposed to read? She's a cougar? Okay, you look like a cougar. But are you Samantha DeVito? No. Okay, we'll move on. But yeah, a great bit. Big fan of Cranges.
And now it's time for a little homeschool.
Yeah, both these bits again, like actually last week was the case too. You probably figured it. But this week, everything filmed during the pandemic. Cranges was filmed during the pandemic. This one as well. And this bit came up because so many people are homeschooling this year. We're like, you know what? Everyone's had to deal with not everyone, but maybe a lot of parents and guardians had to deal with teaching while working and doing a bunch of other things. So we're like, all right, let's do a homeschooling bit is kind of the idea for this one. We figured it was like more relatable this year than ever before to do the homeschooling PowerPoint.
And this was nice too, because we got to have multiple marks in the room separated, but in couples, because it's a homeschooling thing.
Yeah.
We could have people who are together spread out, you know, and you know, socially distant, but then also, you know, it allows us to have people next to each other. But I think the goal is to be number one, safe, and number two, allow this material to last, you know, forever, like in the way you watch any bit for Joker's history. So it's nice that we're taking all the precautions, but also it could fit into if you just took this out and threw it in another season, it would work.
Yeah, it looks the same. I mean, I think that was such a smart move by our production team to go out and seek out couples.
Yeah.
Those are two people that are willing to be within 6 feet from each other, hopefully, if everything's gone right in the relationship, and put them right together for the bit. And so it looks like when you're watching this bit, like it could be any season of IJ, like you said. Yeah, it's great.
And they could learn the Biederhoff method.
yes, exactly. Oh, what a method it was.
Yeah.
For real, which one of these would you have picked between the two turns?
Between Biederhoff or between the AI child and yeah. homies.
If you have to teach your imaginary kids out there, which one are you teaching?
You know what's funny is I was watching, right? And I live in like, you know, I think we all live in like apartments. And I was like, if I had a kid, they would definitely be working in the closet. Like they would be like the learning closet is something that is probably legit. Like my, when I for a while I was doing some like VO stuff and I like would right. move a whole section and go in the closet. And I was like, oh, I love it in here. I want to like set up my whole workspace. And I know a lot of people who do VO work and they've turned their home closets into VO booths because it's like, you know, it's, and I think it's a great place to work.
100%.
There's nothing wrong with a learning closet. the 100%. Lock on the door on the outside. Yeah, maybe something wrong with that.
No, the kids need to stay inside so they learn. They don't know when they can come out.
Yeah.
They need the lock.
But is there a light in the closet?
There should be now.
Closets usually have lights.
Mine is a light. I got to see what kind of fashions are coming out.
Okay.
Choosing me. I don't choose them.
Yeah, I thought about it. None of the closets in my house have lights. So,
really? None of my closets have lights.
No. Oh, you guys live in
I
have two walk-in closets. I'm lying. I have two walk-in closets and they have lights. I'm in an old building.
There's a lot of kids in there.
So I'm in a new building, which means that my heat will not work sometimes because it's a new building and they put in new stuff that fails. But yeah, my closets have lights. So that's good. Maybe the light can heat me up.
See, I don't live in a projects, but I have what I call project heat. So I'm always extra hot. So my window is always open and my fan is always on.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, it's New York apartments are so, they just like pump the heat.
Oh my gosh.
And you have to open a window. You have to fight the heat with an open window in the winter.
Yep.
And you're like, if it's like 45 degrees and the heat is still pumping out, like if it's like 50 outside and the heat is still pumping, that's the worst situation.
The worst.
Because you're like, yep. I can't turn off this heat. Worse than some days where I don't have heat. So that's interesting. So I really like to see Milana anytime. And this was a great cameo. Joe filmed Milana with that like light, great acting, you know, on Milana's
part.
She did
phenomenal.
Oh, she is her father's child.
Yes.
Please believe me, personality and everything. I love that little girl. Yes.
Because whenever I drop in and maybe see a few TikToks from Bessie or Joe, I'm like, Milana is a straight up Bessie clone. She looks like a little Bessie. She's like mini Bess.
She looks like Betsy. Yes. She looks like Bessie. But that personality, no fear, no anything.
Wow.
That she's all ghetto.
That's beautiful. I'm so excited for like in 10 years, the high school version of Practical Jokers led by Milana.
I love it.
Yeah. Overnight learning. Kind of a good idea, but scary.
If it works. Yeah. Terrifying. Definitely very dystopian. I mean, I would do it if it worked. I know it doesn't because the guys made it up. Such a fun bit. The homies. I mean, this is the homies all the way through, right?
One. No, I was just going to say with the last one with Big Ups, it's just them like yelling at that woman who didn't give, like calling out the woman who didn't do a Big Ups is exciting.
Love the Big Ups. That's the new Pledge of Allegiance, I think.
I think so.
They should just add it to it. It should be Big Ups America and let's keep going. Yeah,
that's the whole thing.
You guys can see me, but I mean, the audience can, but I would love if the Bigs was like, Big Ups.
If I were in that room, I would have done that.
Good chest. Big ups.
Absolutely.
Hit the chest good time.
And then now we're moving on to homies.
The homies. Aww. Yeah. I mean, this was a great one here. Sal and Joe teaching it. The picture of Sal really cracks me up. The like overblown like Instagram picture or whatever of him really cracks me up. You kind of see it there at the end where he's like melding with the vanilla clown in and out.
Yeah.
Vanilla clown.
Yeah. I mean, that's really fun. But I also like how they use Ace, which is like in early on, they say like, oh, you know, like my first son, Ace, you know, like it just, I messed up and I fucked him up for life. And Ace was actually what Joe really wanted to name Remo. Like Ace was the name. That's a little behind the scenes.
Yep.
He loved the name Ace, which I like the name too.
Me too.
But you know, they went with Remington, AKA Remo. And nothing wrong with Remo. Nice. I love Remo. But yeah, Ace, maybe if they have a third, maybe they have another boy, it'll be an Ace.
I feel like Remo will get a job. Ace.
Yeah. Ace will get like a career. You know what I mean? Like Ace will get like a car. Yeah, he'll be like counting cards at Vegas. Like he'll fall into some sort of interesting line of work. Whereas Remo will
do his thing. Name. Yeah, that's a name you look at and like, okay, yes, I need him. That's Remo.
Remo's cute name.
Yes.
You name your kid Ace and you're kind of like that kid's destined to live on the outskirts of society, either like as a card counter, you know, a stuntman or something. Not a stuntman living on the outside of society. But yeah, it's like you're really hard to find an accountant named Ace, I would say.
Exactly. You could have a Remington. I would let a Remington handle my finances. I'm sorry. He can be my accountant.
I am Remington Gatto, attorney at law.
Yes. DDS. See what I'm saying?
He's everything.
100%.
You see?
Ace has that Cayman Islands account, though. You know that. That's right. He knows how to wash the money.
I got to say, pretty interesting that his first child is Milana, a cookie, and his second child is Remington, a gun. Okay. It's like a little all over the place, but hey, yeah, so is Joe Gatto. You know?
I love it.
Yeah. There's this slide in here. I want to talk a little bit about something that came up because there was a bit in here that we had to change due to some network rules. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what I'm talking about, Case?
I'm blanking on it now.
Okay. So I don't even know if it made the final cut because there's so many funny things in here. There's a slide that was teaching kids about the dangers of smack is what it ended up being. Mm. The whole bit was, it was normal, healthy teens learn about heroin from their more risque peers. Because your homie will be deprived of that, you must be their introduction. Find a cat that's about to die. When it does, surround its corpse with heroin or a bag of brown sugar. All you have to say is nothing. So the kids will see the cat dead with the heroin nearby. They will never do heroin. The funny thing I want to mention about that was, originally it was supposed to be cigarettes, and we weren't allowed to do anything with cigarettes on air. That's like a new network rule. It's like, can't do anything with cigarettes. And we're like, well, what about hardcore drugs? And they're like, yeah, as long as it's not smoking. We're like, great. And so that's how it happened. So we actually had to change that.
That's a fun behind the scenes.
Yeah. A little malicious compliance, as they call it.
Yeah. It's always funny. Like, I kind of always forget what gets cut out,
right?
You know, like, cause we'll pack these PowerPoints with a lot of stuff. Yeah. And then also they go off the, you know, like, you know, aside from what, like, the, you know, we and the guys come up with the PowerPoints. There's just stuff that happens in the moment that they just riff on. And so there's always, like, you know, cutting room floor stuff. Mm-hmm. And if it's not great, then it might not make a special.
Yeah. There's some good ones in here. Like, I know the, what was it? Our one day US geography class, a simple mnemonic sentence that will help you remember all 50 states every time. That's every right. Letter represents a state. Put your hand over your heart, stand up straight, think of Old Glory and say it with us. RIP, Man Van Santa, hot fig, Vaughn, I milk, no nuns can, McW, McW, Dick W, McW. So if you say that, that does incorporate all 50
so
states,
simple.
Everybody.
And so easy.
So simple. And then the guys talked about it in the room about, okay, well, all right. So of course the first one, RIP, that's Rhode Island, Illinois, Pennsylvania, whatever. And they
I know,
and
we all know what everything is because of that mnemonic. And now we're going to jump into this punishment, which is, I really love at the end, or I'm starting at the back of the punishment, but when Murr just starts shaking everyone's hands because he's so impressed at how like deep this punishment goes. There's so many layers to it. 100%. And that's what I mean. Like, a couple episodes ago when we gave him a catheter, like, we know that Murr is like he loves punishments, even when they're for him. He's a connoisseur of punishments. You know, part of it is, like, the guys want to impress Murr. And sometimes that means we put a catheter in his penis. And sometimes it means we put a billboard up for my shiny hiney.
Exactly. And that's why it makes sense to start at the back with this punishment, because that's where it begins, right? In the shiny hiney hole.
How many texts did you guys get about the billboard?
Quite a few.
Like, I mean, I know you have family in Jersey and Staten Island. Like, I had a ton of Staten Islanders be like, send me a photo and be like, sometimes they were like, okay, what's the punishment? And sometimes they were like, can you believe your friend did this? Like, why is he doing this? You know, a lot of people were mad because they were like, he could be, you know, he could be the spokesperson to a charity, you know, and it's true, but he had no choice in the matter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it was in the Post, right? Like, it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it came out in the Post. It went in those mailing coupons, whatever, like every home, like, yeah, the Val pack or whatever it was called.
The coupon books went to my parents. They got the coupon, but my dad saw everything. He's texted me several times. I said, did you watch the episode the other day? And he was like, yeah, it was great. When's the billboard, the shiny hiney one going? Like, he's excited to see, like, what it meant. It's like he saw the Easter egg. He wants to see, like, the real deal.
I love it. I do get a couple. I think I got maybe two or three DMs. They want to buy. They actually want to purchase the shiny
hiney. So it's working. Oh, this is good for the shiny hiney people.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah, the saints that make shiny hiney. I can't believe they allowed us to do it. That's the thing. Like, we're kind of making it a joke that that were like the product is, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I guess they're like, I guess like they're like, there's no bad press, even if
free advertising, right? Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Well, the Joker's got a cut except for Murr.
That's true.
Which is genius.
That is true.
Truly yeah. A beautiful thing to cut Murr out.
100%. Yeah. I mean, this was one we wanted to, it's funny because it actually ended up being like, again, like another one that worked out really well for the pandemic. But this was another idea that we had at the beginning of the season that we're planning on doing without the pandemic ever happening. Originally, the way the guys wanted to do it, they wanted to get a magazine article and get like Melissa to talk about Murr using the Shiny Heine thing in a magazine article and then get an ad in that magazine of Shiny Heine and like put it in like an Us Weekly or something that would have been in the supermarket. And then when we did a grocery bit, they wanted to be like, hey, Murr, by the way, you lost the episode. Like, go ahead and look in there. Like if it was one that he lost and like just see that this is like the punishment starting up. Right there. Of course, like times change, we weren't able to do that, but this one did work out to be like a good, you know, socially distant pandemic punishment. Mm.
That's crazy. I love how I find all of this out. This is great.
Yeah, some of the stuff I forget or don't know either. And it's like, I'm also jazzed to remember it because my memory isn't perfect. Yeah, that's a good behind the scenes tip.
Dude, I never knew that. That's dope.
Yeah. And so actually that leads in to a question. We've talked, you know, a lot about the crew in this episode, a lot of the comedy producers. So yeah. We had a question. This comes from at MSM, not mainstream media, at MSM G Black 70. So Marsha is her name. She asks, how does the team stay inspired and motivated to come up with fresh, innovative challenges and punishments?
I appreciate that question because it's a compliment in a question. Mm-hmm. They were like, hey, they were like, oh, we find this innovative show. Like we find your show to be innovative and fresh. How do you keep it that way? It's like, oh, that is so nice. But that is something that the guys always think about. At the beginning of every season, they say, what are we going to do different? What's going to be different this year? What's going to be like, what's the thing? How can we keep the show, you know, changing? Last season, we had this thing. Last, you know, occasionally like a character arc comes up where we follow that. And, you know, we cut Q's hair off and made a wig out of it. Like we're always trying to think of outside the box stuff that still is in the realm of what the show is. So that's a huge part of it is like the guys are just aware of that. And they think about that exact thought. Do people find this show fresh and innovative? And if not, well, let's make it that.
Yeah. And like there's other things we do. Like we usually in pre-pro, we bring on some other comedy producers to help us out. We brought like Sharon Paul in and Nick Giovanetti to kind of help in us and the guys and come up with more ideas in the room for the show. But I think just like on an individual level, I know something, this is just me and maybe you can answer it as well, Case. But like for me personally, I think like reading, watching a lot of movies, TVs, plays when you could go to them and just like really pursuing your own personal interests kind of like helps you just take in a lot of different things that you wouldn't necessarily be exposed to. And you don't know what it is that you're going to see or watch, but then all of a sudden that stuff gets filtered through your mind and then comes out of your comedy filter for IJ and you're just getting these new ideas that you wouldn't have had before. So I think, I don't know, some combination of like staying curious, but just like really opening yourself up to taking in new things does help you stay fresh. And it recharges you. It really does recharge you to watch the other stuff. And like, it motivates you when you go to a play, you're motivated then to kind of go home and create. And like, I know I feel that way after you watch something really good. You're like, oh man, what am I doing?
Yeah, I saw you nailed it on the head. I feel the exact same. You're so right. You're so right. There's something to, I mean, I could name like there's Broadway plays I've seen where I've left being like so inspired.
Right.
It could be anything. And that's not even something that's like in our show, but it might lead to a thing like Q's, you know, musical.
Fireman Punishment.
The Fireman musical, like it might lead to that stuff and you pull from those influences. So I think you're right. And you nailed it. Like what's something that would be in season 10, not in season 3.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing is like, I don't want to come up with an idea that just works. That has that's like, oh, it's a different version of Cranjus. That's like this. I want to think of like, what's like something we haven't done at all yet. And that's how you get fun ideas out that are like, that are similar to what we've done on the show, but different enough that we're sliding in a direction that pushes the show forward. Yeah. That's the goal, right?
Yeah. I will say, we'll talk about it when it comes up in a punishment, but there's like a punishment we filmed that is going to be an all-timer later this season. And when we talk about it, you'll get to hear some of the behind the scenes of how it came up and everything. And I think kind of talking about this will play into it, but yeah, you just stay interested in your hobbies, help let it refresh you.
And then we didn't do Mark of the episode.
No, we didn't.
We didn't.
I have somebody in mind that I want to put up. It's the woman who didn't give big ups.
Yes.
And then did.
Yes.
Personally, that's my mark of the episode. And I think last week we talked about doing mark of the episode, but then we just did crew member of the episode and so we didn't even fulfill that.
Yeah, you're right.
Because we're, you know, we're not perfect. Yeah.
Last week, if I had to give it retroactively, it'd be for the two people in the challenge that turned into the punishment for Sal. They were in like half, they were in as much of the episode as like Q and Mer were. Yeah. So it's like, I feel like give it to them.
I think that the top people in the running for this episode would be Eric Montoya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's also a woman who Q is talking to, and then Q immediately went, oh, Karen Whitebitch is here. He didn't mean it to be like as if he was calling her that, but she definitely thought that that's what it was, or probably did. So those three, I would say, like, it's between those three. Is it Karen Whitebitch? Is it Eric Montoya? Or is it the woman who didn't do big ups but then did big ups?
That's a tough one. Shay, who do you think?
I gotta go with Eric.
I'm going with Egg too.
You're going Eric Montoya.
Yeah, I gotta go with Eric.
Okay.
Egg for me as well. I mean, what are the odds?
Yeah. That's majority rules right there. I'm sticking to my guns, but I think, you know, Eric Montoya wins.
Hands down.
The one and only Egg Montoya.
That's great.
Boom. Clap, 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 clap.
Clap it up. Clap it up. You know, another one, we talked about the punishment here. Just another one. This one comes from at Crazy Kaboom, Bryson. He wants to know, what's the most embarrassing punishment the Jokers have ever done?
Ooh.
What do you guys think?
Embarrassing. Embarrassing, I would say, what that question means is like in front of a lot of people, not the home audience.
Yeah.
In the moment, embarrassing.
And I'll go first because actually, since you tweeted at me, I was able to think about it and respond. So my answer was actually strip high five.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, in public, Joe and Mer out there high fiving people that pass you by. They're both stripping down and then one of them gets butt naked by the end of it. I think for that, with the spectacle in Union Square, I think to me that might be the most embarrassing. Like, even like, think about Mer being naked as a nude model. It was really funny, but it was just less people.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot that come to mind, but that's a great one. And this is different than our show, but in the movie, Mer's getting a lap dance and then all of a sudden his family's been watching. I gotta give that, that came to my mind because that's mortifying. Like, you're in an environment, like, especially they were not near their family. They were not near Staten Island.
He had no idea they were there.
What they had done is they flew them there that day and put them in that room. They set that all up. And Mer didn't know they were filming that day. So it was like a really out of nowhere, as like, it's your birthday. There's like a little bump and grind happening. It's already like embarrassing in some ways. And then you look and it's like your nieces. It's mortifying. So that's not on our show though. So I kind of broke the rules. It's embarrassing. It's not painful. It is an embarrassment. And it's also not like hard to do and cringeworthy.
Yeah.
It is pure embarrassment. That's what I think.
And he was very embarrassed.
Yeah. And that's what I like about this question. It's different than like what's hard to do. Like, bingo is not embarrassing. It is, in a way. There's elements to it being embarrassing, but it's like hard. It's like tense. And you're like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to get hurt. You know, I don't want to, like, people, I feel so bad. It's like that cringeworthy thing. Whereas like embarrassment is exactly what you, like, strip high five is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking your clothes off in public. It's cold outside.
See, that's why you're my brother.
I know, Shay.
No, you're right, Case. And like that thing in the movie is so embarrassing. But also, like, in my mind, I have so many questions. Like, I feel like like Sal gets his way sometimes. Like, guys, I have so many questions. Like, hold on. Like, wait, what's even happening right now? Where I'm like, I'd be mad at my family for coming. I'd be like, why did you want to see this? Why did you agree to see this?
Yeah.
I'd be mad at the guys for inviting them to it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, is this, I'd be flipping out.
Your siblings, you're like, why would you do this to your kids? You know what I mean? Like, why would you do, you're a terrible parent. They're not.
Right. Like, I don't even know. Like, I guess embarrassment would maybe be my feeling, but I would be like stupefied as well. So it's all of the above. Yeah. I mean, but if you had a list of things I wouldn't want to happen to me, that'd be number one. So yeah, I guess that's a good one.
Yeah. Right. So yeah. Good. Great question. Really, really interesting question too, because there's the specificity into asking about embarrassing. I want to keep thinking on it too. And we could keep discussing this. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, great stuff, guys.
Yeah. I mean, this is another fun one. We got really, really, really fun punishments coming up for these next few episodes.
That's right.
Can't wait. This one was great. Shiny Heine kicks it off, but like the next three episodes have really fun punishments that I think are all timers. I can't wait. I'm really excited for the next three podcasts because I can't wait to talk about all those punishments. They're great.
And please give us some questions, because that's so fun to answer your questions. If you have questions about stuff that's going on this season or any season or specific bits, if you feel like we've missed something in the last, couple episodes, we'd be happy to answer those questions.
Yeah. Hit us up Hashtag like Ask a Joker podcast on Twitter. Is that what it is? Or no, it's hashtag Joker's podcast. That's what we want. Yeah. Ask us at hashtag Joker's podcast on Twitter.
We'll check every hashtag there is.
We'll check them all. Just if you tweet at us, tweet at Casey Jost, at Mick James McCarthy.
I'll check hashtag Elvis Presley if you that's what you want.
We'll scour the internet. Anything. We'll find it. Get Shay on Instagram at Shay Starchild. We will find these questions. We'll answer them for you.
And thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
The official Impractical Joker podcast.